morning. How are y'all this morning? Glad to see all of you out. We've got a few sick folks that I know about, but you're here, and we're so glad that we could worship the Lord together. And you know what Brenda just played? Be very sure. Amen. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Is that not the right song?
That's right.
All right. Be very sure. Be very sure of your salvation. And thank the Lord that we can be saved and we can have eternal life, both here and for all of eternity. We want to pray for those that aren't with us, but we also want to just invite and welcome the Lord's presence this morning. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain that you're sending. But we know that this area has been in some drought. And we do thank you for the rain. Father, we lift up those that might be sick or hurting today. Pray that you'll be with them and that they'll feel your presence wherever they might be, a hospital room or sick at home. And Lord, we want you to know that you're welcome here. We worship you, we praise you, we honor you. For there is no other God. There is no God like you. You are the one that's high and lifted up, the creator of the universe. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just prayed something about he's the creator of the universe. I don't know who set my phone up, but I get all these little interesting tidbits from time to time. And yesterday I was reading this thing and they said, all of these scientists can't figure out where the water came from. You know, they can figure out, they think they know how the land came, but you know what is the 70% of the surface of the earth covered in water, oceans and everything? And they speculate and they can't figure it out. Well, it might be this, and it might be that, and it might be some asteroid come by and dropped it off. I mean, and I'm thinking, what about God? God said, let there be, and there was. But they were wanting to speculate that it came in all different ways other than God. And I just had to laugh at the foolish ideas that man had about where all the water came from. Okay, brother.
I want you to know I'll probably sing this song the rest of the day. His anchor holds and grips a solid rock. And say, if you get a tune before on your mind and just you absolutely can't get rid of it, you just hum it all day long. And I think testing 1, 2, 3. That's all right. I'm loud enough as it is without any doubt about it. But anyway, I want to. I'm talking about his anchor holds and grips a solid rock. I am glad for this morning. The song that we're going to sing is He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. Aren't you glad? Let's all stand and sing it together then.
Oh. Thank you. Remain standing for prayer, please. Be seated. Sing the doxology, please. Praise God. Welcome you this morning to our worship time, and indeed it is a worship time for the Lord. But I want to share with you some announcements at this point in time. And today at 11 o'clock, widows luncheon is going to be held at 11 o'clock. Miss Rosina, we appreciate your leadership with that, and I know there's a lot of good food waiting on those of you that will be attending. Next Wednesday, we want to remind you of our Bible study time. We continue on to study it, and we're about to wrap up Hebrews, aren't we, Pastor? Okay. And so next Sunday, we want to remind you it's Women's Day. It's Women's Day, January the 22nd. Anyone want to speak to that, Miss Rosina? Anyone on Women's Day? I know who the speaker is. Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! That's okay. I have my ways. I attend Sunday school. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Everybody come and be a part of that. Now, those of you remember, it's tax time, the tax man cometh. And that's something you can count on. It's kind of like that death and taxes, right? You know what I mean? So be ready. Be ready for that. Your annual contribution statements are in your mailboxes if you hadn't picked them up yet, okay? Then we just said the widows and all offering the luncheon. Baptist Women's Day, February the 22nd, we've talked about that. The love offering for Marie Burris, we thank you for your contributions last week. I think, Brenda, we were about $905?
We've got $1,000 now.
We got $1,000 right now, and that was the goal that we were trying to reach. But that doesn't mean that if you want to give some more, you can. That money then will be given to the Benevolence Fund if you do give more. So, but it's up. We did extend it one more Sunday, which is today. Okay. Baptist Men's Day will be March the 1st, and Brother Jeff said, "Stay tuned." So, you have anything you want to share at this point, Brother?
No, we just want everybody that can to come and be there.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I tell you, those of you that get together early that morning and we share breakfast and cooking breakfast together, we We do talk about a lot of, we do talk a lot. So become be part of the fellowship. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. All right, I will segment down to being really very serious with the Lord. It's prayer time. As Brother Jim pointed out this morning in Sunday school, we all stand in need of prayer. And you're looking at one right here that does, always. And I know you pray for me too, and I appreciate that too. But they are those that have been mentioned. They're those that have been specifically asked that we remember them in prayer. I know you're missing Evan Howard this morning, and Evan is, she suffered last week with pneumonia, and I talked with her last night and yesterday, and she's better, she sounds better, but she said she was not going to get out in the rain this morning. So let's remember Miss Evan. Let's also remember Janice Williams. I talked with Janice yesterday as well, and she's going to get to come home today, she said, and she had scans for just in case she might have an additional blood clot, and praise the Lord, she was clear, and so she feels like she'll get to come home today. She did share with me the fact that she'll be taking blood thinner the rest of her life, so I said, say the word Eliquis, because that's what you're going to get. So we praise the Lord for the drugs that are available that we may have longer lives. Let's remember Janice Williams. Let's remember the Judy Tucker family. Judy passed away, and the family met yesterday. The Maybrooks family, we need to keep our mind there too. Let's also remember the guest speaker next Sunday. She's asked for special prayer. Can I go ahead and say we need to pray for? Can I do that? Would be okay? The secret's out anyway. Okay, let's all be praying for Janice Hopkins. She'll be speaking next Sunday. And Brother Miss Janice, we'll be definitely, Sister Janice, we'll be praying for you. I know you'll do well. Let's pray for the Baptist Women's Day in general. Let's just that they'll have the super day and a wonderful day in the Lord. Are there anyone else that I need to lift up? Yes, Tonda. Oh, okay.
Because we did our Sanctity of Life Sunday, January 18th. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, we passed our baskets, we took up the offering, and Brenda was able to get that check out because that was during our ice and snow time. So I have this precious note from Mr. Williams, and I want to read this to the church. Thank you, Barbara's Grove, for recognizing our Sanctity of Human Life Sunday on the 18th, and for the generous offering to support our ministry. Through our local support, 82 babies were saved from abortion last year. All glories to God. Thank you for being a part of this continuing work to help us. And that was from Mr. Bradley Williams. So we thank you all for your offerings, and this is just a very special place in our hearts to keep supporting as much as we can.
And all the people said, amen. Thank you. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Tonda, for your leadership on that. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, first off, Lord, we come to you acknowledging who you are. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are the one and only true living Yahweh. You are the God of all gods. And we thank you for your power. We thank you for what you can do for us. And Lord, we should be willing to do a lot for you. But Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we want to say first then thank you. Before I ask you for anything this morning, thank you. Thank you for the ones who had the strength to be here this morning that you have given them. Thank you for the ones who prioritized to be here. All of that, Lord, we thank you for. Thank you for the many, many blessings that we do not deserve, but you give it to us. But then, Lord, there are those among us, Lord, that are hurting. There are those among us, Lord, that are bearing a loss of a loved one. Lord, for those people, Lord, we want to mention them to you, Lord, that you might hear the petition separately and specifically. We pray, Lord, for Eva Ann Howard, Lord, as she's dealing with pneumonia. We thank you, Lord, for the progress she's made already and that she is feeling some better. We pray for Janice Williams, Lord. We lift her up to you today as she dealt with blood clots and as she's been dealing with problems. But we pray for her that she's getting better. We praise that praise report. But, Lord, she still needs your touch. She still needs your healing power on her body. Then, Lord, those of us, those have lost loved ones, we pray for the Judy Tucker family. We pray for the May Brooks family who have lost a dear, loving mother and grandmother in both places. Then, Lord, we pray for Miss Janice. Lord, we know Sister Janice is going to do a great job next week with your guidance and your help, but we pray for her as next week's speaker. And we pray for the Baptist women and their day and their week. We pray for them. And then, Lord, our church as a whole, we lift it up to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will give us what we need, Lord, but let us be willing to put legs and put feet on our prayers, Lord, and get out and work. We pray, Lord, for that, that we may be a witness to someone that does not know Jesus. Thank you for Pastor Ed. We ask now, Lord, you would be with him today as he delivers the message. And then, Lord, all of these, Lord, we come to you. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings to us already. And these blessings I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all the people said, amen. All right, today we're going to continue on with our worship. And this is one that we said we would continue to sing and we'll continue to work on until we get it down where you all know the song. So, but this is a song called Change My Heart, Oh God. That's all standing. may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
You know, it concerns me. Makes me wonder how many people are really, really serious about their Christianity. Are serious about the things that are on God's heart, the things that are important to the Lord. I've seen church folks just get real hot over and keep the phone lines busy over whether we're going to put down red carpet, green carpet, or blue carpet in the sanctuary. Whether we're going to paint the fellowship hall cream, blue, red, purple, or something. Whether we're singing too many hymns or too many choruses or whatever. But what about the things that really matter to God? Now, growing up over at West Alvaro Baptist, we had a gentleman that sang solos regularly. My mind is that he must have sung at least one a month. Maybe more often. Now, I sing monotone. He sang baritone, whatever baritone is. Anyway, he sang a lot better than I do. And he could just thrill my little boy heart with the songs that he sang. And there were three especially. The two I know he sang, seemed like me, he sang all those two three or four times each every year. And then there's a third one that I'm pretty sure he sang several times a year. Sadly, they're not in any modern hymn book that I found. I think this may be our part of our problem. But I want to use those three songs and the scriptures on which they're based to talk about what's really on God's heart today. Now, the first of the songs is one that I had Leonard sing couple of weeks ago, The Love of God. You remember how it goes? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Where were we with ink the oceans filled, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Amen. The love of God is rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Amen. Everything we do ought to be based on our realization God loves us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5 talks about the fact that when we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. He says, scarcely for a righteous man would any die. But while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. And you know, as a kid listening to this man sing about the love of God, and he could put a power and an inflection on it to make the walls of the building just echo. And I needed to hear that God loved me. You know, I had a lot of folks, adults in my life that gave the impression that God was sitting there on his throne and just waiting with his lightning rod to zap me and puncture my bicycle tire or break my arm or something or other. And I needed to hear that God loved me. Now, Ruth would understand this better than anybody else. I think it's in here. We grew up over on the Mill Hill in Albemarle, which is the wrong side of the tracks. And I learned early on that we didn't measure up to the people that lived on the east side of the tracks. And I needed to know somebody loved me. There were a lot of times I had holes in my socks and a piece of cardboard in the bottom of my shoe because the bottom of the leather had worn out. I needed to know somebody loved me. I know my mama loved me. But when I think about it, you know, before Big Oak Curb Market days, Mom worked third shift in the mill, tried to curb my dad's coon hunting, rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, and fishing, and look after my three younger brothers. She didn't have a lot of time to love on me. And I needed to know somebody loved me. God loves you. There's no limit to the love of God. It stretches, as it says, as high as heaven, as low as hell. Person can get saved anywhere if they come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God loves you. Folks, we have a message to share with lost people that God loves them. God really cares about them. There's a lot of folks that think there is no God. And then there's a lot of folks that think God's just an angry God. And there's a lot of folks that think, well, God could love some people, but he couldn't love me. Oh, what a beautiful story it is. The prodigal son says the dad came running out and grabbed the boy and hugged him. Now, folks, that boy just got out of the pig pen. If you've never been in a pig pen, I advise you to try it at least once. Just go down and lean over the fence a little bit. And you won't want to make that experience. Dad used to keep about 100 to 150 hogs all the time. I know what a pig pen smells like. And that's the way that boy smelled. And yet his daddy ran out there and threw his arms around him and said, "Welcome home, son." It doesn't matter how much sin is in our life. God loves us. While we were yet without Christ, Jesus died for us. God's love is wonderful. God's love is amazing. Amen. The second song is built on God's love. And let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. And we'll read verses 3 through 7. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Anybody in here besides me remember the song, the 99? Two of you? Three? Goes like this. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away in the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And all through the road, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor the dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless, ready to die. Sick and helpless, ready to die. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one that had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are the hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a great cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Amen. Folks, God cares about every one of us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God wants you to be saved now. If you turn over, we won't look there, but if you turned over to 2 Peter, it says, God is not slack concerning his promise about his return, but he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. I had a pastor growing up that said he believed that if everybody else was saved automatically and he was the only lost person, that Jesus would have died just for him. You think about this for a minute. If one of these people that went back to the nursery would come running through the door with a panic look on her face or his face and say, have you seen, and they name off one of these little toddlers. We turned her back and the kid was gone. What are we going to do? Immediately, I'm going to have about a 30-second prayer, and then I'm going to say, you two go here and you two go down there and you two go back up here, and we got to find this kid. And everybody else that's too feeble or to go look, we're going to stay in here and pray. And after about 15 minutes, if we don't find that kid, we call in the sheriff's office, and we're having Jeff to look on the screen to see if any of the outside doors open. We don't think they were big enough to push open the door and get out, but maybe they did. We're not going to quit till we find that kid. What about lost people? What about lost people? Are we going to quit before we find them? Are we going to quit before we find them? Now, you may not agree, but the Lord expects you and me to be witnesses. Who do you know that's on their way to hell? Who do you know that's lost? Do you remember the what the Lord says in Ezekiel? Third chapter, verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God holds us responsible. And I didn't even realize it, but there's a beautiful same idea in the book of Proverbs. Go and rescue the perishing. Be their savior. Why would you stand back and watch them stagger to their death? Why would you say, but it's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges your every motive is also the keeper of souls and not just yours. He sees through your excuses and holds you responsible for failing to help those whose lives are threatened. That's in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. That's the Passion Translation. Now, every situation is different. Some people we can confront one-on-one. Some people we can give something to. I've got a situation in my own life or my own family, and I know that a face-to-face confrontation will bring problems. But they get the newsletter every week. They talk about it. And I'm praying that one of these days, maybe already, and they just haven't told me, they're going to read something in a newsletter that says, you need to make your life right with the Lord. Jesus said, I'm not satisfied with one lost soul. I want everybody to be saved. Is that the desire of your heart? Is that the desire of our church? Do we really have a passion for everybody to be saved? Third song, you should send a different type of shivers up my spine. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. Then came a bright shining angel who stood on the land and the sea, swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, no trace of his greatness could find. The widow was there with the orphans. God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard. and they that had sold them the drink, and those that had granted the license, together in hell they did sink. The moral man came to the judgment, but self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not yet, I'll get saved by and by. No time now for religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about the great white throne judgment where the lost are told of their fate. The Bible tells us about that angel that stood on the land and the sea and said, time's over. We need to understand, folks, that the people that reject Jesus Christ are not going to spend eternity in Hawaii or on some beach in the Caribbean. They're going to spend eternity in a place that's terrible. And really, there's not, but in a sense, three classes of people in the world today. You got those little kids that aren't big enough to understand. And everybody else is either saved or lost. Everybody else is either on the way to heaven or to hell. Everybody else either knows Jesus or doesn't know Jesus. And there is coming a judgment morning when folks need to know Jesus. And the only way they'll know Jesus, go back to number two if we seek the 99, and go back to number one if we tell them, God loves you. God loves you. Those are the things that are on the heart of God. God could care less whether this wall's whatever color it is, or whether it's chartreuse or something. God cares about the souls of every individual. Are we praying for the lost? Are we witnessing to the lost in whichever way the Lord leads us to witness to them? Are we giving our money to ministries that are going out and reaching people around the world that don't know Jesus? Are we investing in the harvest? Are we investing in the harvest? These three songs impacted my life as a kid, and they still do. I wish I could sing them like that man did. I can only read them to you. But God loves us. God's concerned about every lost person. And there's coming a judgment. Folks, we have a responsibility. And when we take our Christianity seriously, that's exactly what we're going to do. You walk into Walmart, and it ought to be, wonder if this one's lost or saved, this one's lost or saved. You ought to see everybody. You don't know whether they're going to cross of salvation or something else on their forehead, but and we don't want the mark of the beast, of course, but everybody that you meet is either too young to know or else they're saved or lost. We have a responsibility. Take it seriously. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Do you know somebody that's not a Christian? That if they died this morning, or if the Lord call for his church this morning with a trumpet blown, they wouldn't be ready to go. Would you pray for that person or as many of them as you can? Jesus tells us in the Gospels to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. Would you pray for the Lord to send forth laborers into the harvest all around Barbie's Grove and all around the world? Would you pray, Lord, give me a passion for lost people? I pray that this week that you'll, as you go about your business, you'll find yourself singing, "Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of your saving power. Men are lost in darkness. Set my soul afire." As we have the time of invitation, if you need to make a decision, we invite you to come. If you need to come to the altar just to pray for some lost person or for yourself, would you come?
Ever stand, please.
You, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace and give you powerful, powerful anointed witnessing this week in Jesus' name, amen.